therapist, and we are really lucky today. I know I say that a lot, and it's true. We get to speak with a lot of, you know, kind of old friends from the industry, from frankly all over the world, and today's no exception. I'm going to have a conversation with John Judge, who is the president and CEO of the Appalachian Mountain Club. It is the oldest conservation and outdoor organization in the United States. They demonstrate that mission impact goes hand in hand with good financial performance. I can't say that during John's tenure, AMC is probably the best performing outdoor organization, or at least one of the top in the nation. They deliver eco lodging. They have amazing occupancy records. They're advancing conservation policy on both state and federal levels. Just overall an amazing organization, and they're lucky to have John as their leader. I've known John since college. He was a couple years ahead of me at Stonehill, and then he went on to Harvard University's Kennedy School. And so again, really, really, it's an honor to have you with us today, John. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you, David. Thanks for inviting me to chat with you. Appreciate it.
Is there anything you wanted to toss out at us that maybe you're struggling with from a giving perspective for your team, or kind of recovering from the past year and a half now? I keep saying a year, but it's really almost two now.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, I think on the there's such a push now on the marketing front for nonprofits to connect with micro influencers. Mm-hmm. You know, Jane Smith posts something about, you know, Goodwill or about Habitat for Humanity and says, hey, you know, support this group. Here's what I'm doing. And I know it dovetails well with crowdfunding, but I do feel like there's, similar to the botanical garden model that you're talking about, there's a little bit of this free rider phenomenon that's going on where folks use a private park again and again and again and say, oh, it's paid for, or hike a trail that, you know, we put over $1 million a year into trails and just assume that the government is paying for it. So I'd love to get a sense from your clients and the folks listening to this podcast. What are they doing to engage folks in a concerted grassroots way? Because it's, unless you have a barcode at every trailhead and say to somebody, hey, donate 25 cents or something.
But should you be doing that, right? I mean, it's kind of a kick the tire mentality, or, you know, I love the free ride, you know, analogy, because that's exactly what it is. And, you know, I think it's bigger than somebody coming on your trailhead and not donating. It's, are we not as philanthropic a society as we think we are? And do we have to do a better job of, you know, promoting our kind of sector? And, you know, telling the story, I love the fact that you want to stay relevant, right? And you're telling stories and being a micro influencer or a large influencer, but constantly telling people, this is what we do. This is why it's important. I think it does translate into giving, but it's not an easy play. And I don't know if it ever will be again, those smaller kind of grassroots gifts. And I see that across industries, not just conservation. If you talk to healthcare, you know, it was always, oh, we rely on grateful patients and they're, you know, I had a great experience. Here's $25. You saved mom. Those gifts don't necessarily come in on a regular basis. And
even
in higher ed, I think if you look at campaigns now, it's like 97% of the dollars are coming from 3-4% of the donors. So it's
3-4%.
Right. Remember the 80-20 rule? I mean, it's, so does it play into this? maybe you do take advantage of that technology and put the clicker every trail head or the, you know, QR code. And, you know, there's a fine line, right? You don't want to be obnoxious. And every time you send something out, where you're asking for support. But do people know that you're a nonprofit and you're not just a kind of a subset of the government?
No, that's a great point. I bet a lot don't. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that's an amazing challenge. So from our like nature kind of conservation organizations, they're all membership driven, and that's really what they've done to kind of keep the lower, you know, kind of entry level gift in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of taking and you're probably doing this, but taking a nod from like association memberships, you know, trade associations, like, oh, you know, $250 is your membership, but, you know, $25 goes to the PAC or the foundation, and it's right there, and it's an easy, quick bump up from a numbers perspective. Do you have that opportunity if I join to make a quick gift or recurring gift?
We do, yeah. We're fine. Believe it or not, we have never had automatic renewal in terms of membership, okay. And we're going to do that in January. And
good.
I mean, one of the things that you hear from, you know, the Y and other groups that have recurring membership, and like, if you just say to folks, hey, you want to just stay on at $50 a year, they'll say, yeah, sure. And maybe in 5-10 years, they'll say, no, I don't need that anymore. But what we have found, if somebody stays with AMC for more than 2 years as a member, there's an 82% rate of they're going to be with us for the rest of their life. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
That's a crazy number.
Isn't that cool?
Perfect. Yeah. Well, and so then I guess moving backwards, what's the renewal rate if you don't get that? It's probably under 50%, right? You're losing.
That's right. You're spot on. Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that kind of frustrates me when people start talking about, or when we're talking about renewable programs like that, automatic renewal, and you get pushback. And the biggest pushback I'll hear is, well, we want to upgrade those donors. Well, that's amazing that you want to upgrade them. Why don't we keep them first? And then, you know, you're losing half of your population every year. Yeah. And that's expensive.
You know, it really is. Yeah. What have you seen, David, in terms of what's the differentiator in your mind in terms of some of the best major gifts officers you've seen? Like, any tips for us as we think about?
Are you thinking about metrics and how they're driven and what your expectation as the CEO or leadership should be?
No, I was thinking about the flip side, about how, you know, how do you think donors would rank the best major gifts officers? Like, what are some of the skills and attributes and so on?
That's a great question. And one that probably doesn't get asked. I think it's the ones that are considered, you know, kind of Hall of Famers, for a silly term, smaller portfolios.
Okay.
Right. I think that's the biggest piece. You know, we're the whole nonprofit sector. We're budget conscious. I get that. But, you know, we assign David Garamella as the gift officer 400 prospects. Well, you're not going to see half of them in any given year. So by the time you do get to see Mr. and Mrs. Judge, they're like, well, you haven't talked to us since the last campaign. You know, go away, or here's your token, you know, small gift. We're not going to invest in you. So I think it better to invest in more gift officers with really tight, smaller portfolios. Your best gift officers are metrics driven in that. I'm not saying that they're compensated necessarily on what they raise or how many gifts, but they're held accountable on who they see and who they visit, because it keeps them focused. You know, in the beginning of my career, I was a gift officer at an organization, and I kept getting pulled, and I was supposed to be a major gift officer. That was my job description. And that's what I was really good at. It's what I enjoyed doing. but I would get called to operations. I used to call it, I was the flag waver, right? Oh, the flag is down. Go to the front of the building. We put the flag up. Will you go to the operations meeting? Will you, you know, greet people in the parking lot? I love doing all of that because I like to be with people. I like to interact, but it took me away from what I wanted to do or what I was hired to do. And I think, right, you know, be careful on that. So yeah, you want to make sure you have people that embrace the mission that not only of the organization, but embrace what they were hired to do. You'll succeed and take your time hiring, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of mediocrity, right? Everybody says they could raise money for your organization, and it's a special skill set.
It really is.
A special skill set.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you want somewhat of a generalist, you know, somebody who could have a conversation with all age level, common sense kind of stuff. Good gift officers have common sense, and they could sit down and talk to you about your grandkids. They could talk to you if you were in the Navy. They'll talk to you if you care about, you know, I don't know, the latest movie to binge or series to binge on Netflix. You could have that conversation, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's the best job out there. When this is all said and done, and I'm done with this, I'm going to go be a gift officer for something that I'm passionate about. That's that is not me, you know, kind of being a comedian. I think that, to me, that is the best job out there, that if you could raise resources for something you're passionate about, as long as they let you do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. We had one of our major gifts officers who hits it out of the park. She's terrific. She was a VP at another organization. And she said, John, I like being VP, but what I didn't like about it was I wasn't able to be a major gifts officer. I was too stuck in the reporting and, you know, trying to figure out HR relationships and hiring and so on. So she came back to major giving. Yeah. And does exactly what you said, you know, manages a small portfolio and really hits it out of the park. I mean, just, yeah.
You can't ask for anything else. You have a win there. So good for you. So take care of her. And don't let it go.
Exactly.
Do you get to be involved in any of the asks, or do you enjoy that, or is that something you like to be hands off?
I love it. You know, there's a certain amount of, you know, when you're CEO, I think there's an expectation that you should be the chief fundraiser for whatever your nonprofit is, and really believe in the cause. So for me, I mean, to raise money for the Dark Skies Initiative, or to get kids outdoors, or to build a new hut or protect land, it's an easy sell, you know? So it doesn't feel like fundraising. It's exciting. You know, you talk to folks about it and you say, would you like to join us? And it's usually a absolutely, or let me think about it. And we're very, very lucky. And we stand on the shoulders of everybody that came before us, because we have a great brand and a great organization. So we're really fortunate about that. But I enjoy it. And I think, I mean, part of it is to just make it easy. And what we try to do is really use our facilities that are at our disposal to bring donors out in, you know, hike in the Maine woods, or take a paddle, or go cross country skiing. We've got a couple cross country skiing trips, but that's what I would tell anybody, you know, try to figure out kind of what your differentiator is and bring those folks on the walk of what your daily life is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I am so appreciative of you kind of spending some time with us today, and I'm going to, do you have volunteers, college kids and high school kids, to do any trail work?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
All right. Well, I am going to pass this on to my children because this is something they're passionate about. That I volunteer them for more than they probably want sometimes. In all seriousness, this was a great, great podcast for us because it's something that I'm passionate about. I wish more people would invest in the outdoors and conservation. I want to make sure that what you're doing that is here for my kids and my grandkids. And I can't believe I'm saying grandkids, but it's probably going to happen at some point. Right. So thank you. Thanks for spending some
time. Sure. Thanks for thinking me. I appreciate it.